My Little Pony the Movie is the story of the workers of the world uniting behind a vanguard party in order to throw off their chains and topple a totalitarian, fascist, capitalist regime that exploits the proletariat of Equestria in order to achieve their own imperialist goals. Slava Rudina! Slava SSSR! Slava Equestria! Equestria, a land where ponies can live independently in a free society. Work is not required by the state, nor by the economy, and while there is a currency system, no pony ever seems to be short. After all, there's seemingly no homelessness, no poverty, and no ponies dying due to not having health insurance. Every pony's either having fun in public events, or working voluntarily. Seems like a pretty decent socialist state, if I do say so myself. Two rulers preside over this worker state, Princess Celestia and Princess Luna. While these two do hold a monarchistic position and should therefore be given the wall, it can be argued that they hold a similar position of power to leaders like Joseph Stalin and Josip Broz Tito, leaders who maintain their own brands of socialism through life tenure. Although Equestria seems to somewhat mirror the brand of socialism upheld in Yugoslavia, as businesses are small and workers are not obligated to work under state capitalism, nor under a private capitalist. No matter your upbringing, nor your nature, the Ponies Republic of Equestria can provide for you. And that is the Equestria My Little Pony the Movie opens with. The PRE's proletariat are preparing, as far as I can see, publicly funded concert. Twilight gets shat on by Celestia and Luna, Applejack gets bullied for her upbringing, and Fluttershy continues to suffer under the struggle of her daily life. One worker's song later, and the main antagonists of the film are introduced. The lieutenant to the Storm King, Tempest, leads his armies in an invasion of Equestria. Quite a successful one too. Despite the valiant but short defense by the main six, Celestia, Luna, and Cadence, Tempest successfully carries out a decapitation attack against the government of Equestria. Celestia, Luna, and Cadence are petrified, but Twilight, along with the rest of the main six, manage to escape. After regrouping, they vow to return and liberate Equestria. Only 20 minutes in, and we have the driving force of the plot. A former socialist republic is invaded by, as you'll see later, a fascist government. A group of comrades escapes and vows to return. The main six, Twilight Sparkle, Rainbow Dash, Applejack Rarity, Fluttershy and Pinkie Pie for the uninitiated, comprise a vanguard party, and throughout the film, we'll see this party travel through lands that the Storm King has previously conquered, and we'll see them unite the downtrodden animals of these lands, thus uniting the workers of the world. During the defense of Equestria, Twilight overhears Celestia ordering Luna to travel south to get the help of the Queen of the Hippogriffs. While Twilight initially mishears this order, she works it out later and it's not really important to the plot. And so, the comrades of our little vanguard party begin their quest to restore socialism to the Ponies Republic of Equestria. While traveling south, our heroes stumble upon Klujtown, a settlement previously captured by the Storm King. Upon entering, the economic system imposed by the Storm King becomes evident, as the populace of Klujtown have essentially created a slave market. There is no visible regulation of these markets by the Storm King or his forces. All you need to get by in Klujtown is enough storm bucks. Markets are so unfettered, in fact, that the purchasing of sentient animals is commonplace, as an inhabitant asks our protagonist,
"How much for the giant gecko?
Who are you calling a gecko?"
Finally, as the tension mounts, prospective buyers proclaim that,
"How's it the blue one?
I want all seven for my collection!"
The commodification of Spike and the other ponies ends up being a form of imperialist slavery, at least ignored by the Storm King, and at most encouraged to stimulate his state's economy. The Vanguard Party are only saved by Kappa, who, instead of Kappa, The Vanguard Party are only saved by Kappa, who instead of convincing Klujtown's residents of the immorality of pony trafficking, scares them away with a fake infectious disease. One bop and a bunch of plot later, it is revealed that Kappa only rescued the ponies in order to sell them. Yes, he's a slaver like the rest of them. Klujtown can easily be viewed as a critique of unrestricted capitalism. The town is in direct opposition to the idea that the freer the markets, the freer the ponies, as it shows that in fact, when markets are left without state oversight, ponies are subject to slavery. While our comrades are busy not getting enslaved, the Storm King begins exploiting the proletariat of Equestria for his own gains, removing the free will they were given under Celestian socialism. This can be seen as an extension of the film's existing attitudes to capitalism. The Storm King, a fascist due to his grip on power and the state, is now exploiting the workers of Equestria for his own personal gain, the ability to control the sun and the moon. The film seeks to create a more explicit depiction of the capitalist oppression of the proletariat described in Marxist-Leninist literature, with ponies being roped into submission, a close parallel to the metaphorical chains that are seen to be controlling the workers in the Communist Manifesto that Marx co-authored. Jumping back to Cluj Town, Tempest finds the Vanguard Party, but they manage to escape thanks to some plot horse armour. Our comrades manage to stow away on a cargo ship controlled by the Storm King and crewed by a band of former swashbuckling treasure hunters. Our heroes are threatened with walking the plank, but after some relatability and the main six being saved by a cliché,
we scar them emotionally.
They engage in a constructive dialogue with the crew over some lunch. The crew is only allowed one short lunch break before having to return to work, a softened version of the conditions some real people have to face while working for companies like Amazon, where employees feel compelled to miss toilet breaks in order to increase their productivity and avoid disciplinary action. The female captain of the ship, Captain Solano, also alludes to the repression of individualism enforced by the Storm King, as all crew wear the same uniforms in order to impose uniformity of thought and action, whether by force or through regulation and social pressure, a main tenet of fascism. Twilight briefly engages in some counter-revolutionary speak.
Rainbow Dash, this really isn't a good time for a-
Isn't a good time for what, Twilight? A revolution? A rebellion? A remodeling of society in the communist ways? You counter-revolutionary. Bonjour! What has my life come to? But Rainbow Dash leads into a musical number that has a few noteworthy lines. Solano describes a dull routine that the crew has been forced to do, a clear likeness to the regimes that most of humanity is obligated to follow in order to have enough money to live under capitalism. The song then proclaims, "Now it's time to break the shackles free," in another fairly explicit reference to those pesky metaphorical chains that oppress the proletariat and will eventually be broken by a workers' revolution, much like the revolt that is happening on board Solano's ship. Finally, in a pretty revolutionary move, Rainbow takes the Storm King's orders and tosses them, the exploited crew rejecting the hierarchy forced upon them by the Storm King, and instead choosing to self-manage. In her celebrations, Rainbow Dash alerts Tempest to their whereabouts, but the main six again escape. Tempest then proceeds to liquidate the crew's newly formed trade union. Some fluff happens and the Vanguard arrives at the nearby Soviet Socialist Republic of Sequestria. Twilight attempts to steal their Pearl of Transformation, but her plot is found out, and the ponies are thrown out of Sequestria. For her attempted betrayal of a fellow socialist state, Twilight is then purged from the Vanguard Party through a very democratic process of more ponies walking away from the accused than staying. Twilight then goes off to have a sad wank, but she's rudely interrupted by Tempest, who kidnaps her and takes her away for questioning. Throughout the film, Tempest can be seen as an allegory for the middle class. The bourgeoisie of the story promises Tempest great rewards for her struggle and assures her that she is above the common proles of Equestria, giving her the rank of lieutenant. However, in reality, the Storm King exploits Tempest in exactly the same way he does the working class. This can be viewed as a reflection of the middle class of our world. They hold positions slightly higher up the capitalist pecking order, but ultimately they are forced to serve the bourgeoisie ruling class all the same. Twilight makes a half-assed attempt to reveal this by saying,
"You're a pony, just like me."
But Tempest violently rejects this, insisting that she is different to the exploited working class just because she's slightly higher up the ladder. She then sings a bop, the lyrics of which incorporate some pro-capitalist arguments. Tempest tells Twilight to
open up your eyes,
implying that Twilight's idealistic view of friendship, socialism, is in conflict with the real world and is ultimately unattainable. Tempest preaches an ideology of brutal self-sufficiency, so much so that she actively rejects the idea of working together to survive. This belief can be seen in the writings of Ayn Rand, a strong believer of unrestricted laissez-faire capitalism, an apparent opposite to Celestian socialism. She writes, "Man, every man, must live for his own sake." A belief that the Storm King and Tempest seemingly ascribe to as they both exploit those below them for their own interests. The seeming hopelessness of the situation gets to Twilight as she says,
"Friendship didn't fail me. I failed friendship."
An acceptance that she has failed the revolution heralded by her and her comrades. The worst character in the franchise then tells the rest of the Vanguard that little Lenin's been captured before Kappa, the pirates, and the one reasonable Hippogriff girl meet up with the main five to plan their liberation of Equestria from the grubby capitalist hands of the Storm King. A bunch of talking happens before the Storm King really flexes his power. Through his exploitation of Equestria's working class, including Tempest, even if she doesn't want to admit it yet, he has gained the power to move the sun and the moon. But much like the super rich of our universe, he just kind of pisses about with it. Tell me Elon Musk wouldn't do this if he could. He would love this. He sent a car into space. A car is useless in space. The Vanguard Party and the workers they have managed to rally return to Equestria and ignite the fire of revolution. They do a lot of beating up. After all, to make a revolution, you've got to crack a few heads. But they also sympathize with the downtrodden henchmen of the Storm King, the movie showing a positive depiction of the revolution directly aiding others, regardless of who they used to suffer under. Finally, the Vanguard Party and Kappa storm the castle using a very morally questionable assault weapon, and they make their way up to face the Storm King. After the Storm King briefly mocks what he sees as idealism within Celestian socialism.
It's the magic of...
Yeah, yeah! Friendship and flowers and ponies and blah!
Tempest makes one last plea to him for the restoration of her horn.
Bow to my ba-ba-ba-boom, baby!
Yes, yes, you are every bit as powerful as I promised, sire. Now, restore my horn, and I swear to use my magic to serve you.
But she is cast aside.
Who cares about your dinky little unicorn horn?
Exploited like the proletariat of Equestria that she helped to conquer. The exploitative nature of Tempest's fash capitalist overlord is explicitly exposed by the film as he bluntly states,
I used you. It's kind of what I do.
This admission by the Storm King finally shatters Tempest's perception that she was above the working classes. In this moment, she gains her own class consciousness and decides to throw off her chains. Twilight, seeing Tempest's change of heart, saves her and when asked,
Why are you saving me?
She answers,
Because this is what friends do.
Which may as well say, because this is what comrades do. In this moment, Tempest comes to accept her place in the revolution and joins the Vanguard in their rebellion against the bourgeoisie that the Storm King represents. In one final testament to her new class consciousness, Tempest sacrifices herself to protect the main six. Tempest's actions can be viewed as a reflection of Lenin's writings in Left-Wing Communism, an infantile disorder. This is kind of rude. As he writes, How is the discipline of the proletariat's revolutionary party maintained? How is it tested? How is it reinforced? First, by the class consciousness of the proletarian vanguard, and by its devotion to the revolution, by its tenacity, self-sacrifice, and heroism. I think Mr. Lenin would heartily approve of Tempest's newfound loyalties. And just when you think our hero of the Ponies Republic of Equestria is dead, Twilight brings her back, because this is a kid's movie, so only greedy capitalist pigs can die. In the conclusion to the film, Tempest vows to right the wrongs she committed while in middle management, and sets about restoring the socialist government that previously ruled Equestria. After being freed from her boss and the authoritarian capitalist system that he represents, Tempest finds the individual freedom to reveal her true name. Fizzle Pop Berry Twist. An aspect of her life that was repressed by the establishment she was formerly a part of. The Ponies Republic of Equestria, now liberated from the Storm King, finally holds that public concert, despite the possible security risks. Seriously, it's like Bon Jovi performing in Baghdad. While not explicitly depicting a class struggle, instead mainly pitting the forces of friendship against the forces of autocracy and control, I believe My Little Pony the movie can be viewed through a Marxist-Leninist lens. Sure, there are many inconsistencies. I'm not sure how a Marxist-Leninist would feel about being ruled by two princesses, but ultimately, I think there are just too many parallels to Marxist-Leninist ideology for me not to ignore. So, I leave you with the fascist despot slain and the proletariat freed. Ponies of the world unite, and maybe someday we can have our own Ponies Republic of Equestria. Also, Twilight totally has the hots for Tempest, like you can see it in her eyes.